Hello, friends. Welcome to today's edition of Analogous. My name is Colin Evans, and I am without my partner, Chimpreet Singh. He is currently enjoying some time with his family, but today I am going to be talking about a hot topic issue that has been boiling over the weekend, and that is Donald Trump versus the NFL. Stay tuned. So when I said that I'd be doing this episode solo, I was being a bit deceiving because I have two of my friends here. Today I am with Gerald Mallison.
Hello, everybody.
And I'm also with James Patterson.
Hello.
We are all freshmen at Howard University, and today we're going to talk about a variety of issues concerning free speech, Trump's own commentary on free speech, and as it relates to NFL players. As many of you all know, last year, there was a large controversy surrounding the 49ers quarterback, Colin Kaepernick, taking a knee during the national anthem before football games were played. And a lot of people thought he was disrespecting the flag, that he wasn't being a true American. And the reason he said that he wanted to take a knee, I'm not going to stand up to show pride in a flag for a country that oppresses black people and people of color. To me, this is bigger than football, and it would be selfish on my part to look the other way. There are bodies in the street and people getting paid leave and getting away with murder. So I guess the first question that I want to walk through is, what do you think of his reasoning for kneeling for the flag?
I think his reasons are made quite clear. He feels that the flag was originally supposed to be made to show that every man, every woman, every person in America has their right to freedom, has their right to a better life. But the problem is there are some people, as he talks about the oppression of African Americans, that don't exactly get those rights and that are denied in society. So I feel Colin Kaepernick's motive is that he wants to try to bring light to a situation that, even though has been around for a long time, has been passed over for far too long.
I think that a lot of the things that are going on in this country are being, you know, swept under the rug. And I think Colin Kaepernick is using his platform, his ability as a Super Bowl going quarterback to shed light on things like police brutality in the black community and things like poverty. If you listen to what he says, not just with this quote, but with other quotes and his just work in the black community, he talks about things like poverty, joblessness, and things that, you know, systemic racism takes away from black brothers and sisters. And I think that's basically what he's trying to do. He's not necessarily, you know, disrespecting anything. He's trying to uplift the people that have historically been ignored and continually been ignored. And him being a football player, he just wants to make clear he's not going to change that.
So you just mentioned something about Kaepernick's position, and I think one of the frequent criticisms is Kaepernick is this quarterback who's making millions of dollars a year off of merchandising, off of just playing, and a lot of people are saying he's probably not affected by most of these issues. How would you respond to someone who's criticizing him like that?
Honestly, I think sometimes those are the best people to kind of bring this type of stuff up, because, you know, people modern day, on the streets or whatever, we like to talk and we do have a good view on these type of things. But when somebody who does have a position of power or somebody who is widely looked on a higher scale says something, it has more impact than, say, some person on the street would.
Also, I would like to, you know, tell that person or that hypothetical person, whoever has that argument, that, you know, being black doesn't take a break just because you have money. If you look even in the sports world, whether it's Jemele Hill or Michael Smith, those people, they are black people with a voice, and they often get criticized and get told to stick to sports because it's perceived that they aren't in their right place as African Americans. They want, you know, African Americans to be docile and things of that nature. And it doesn't change the fact that, you know, Michael Smith and Jemele Hill and Colin Kaepernick and people of that hue are making, you know, 6-7 figures. They're just not criticized the way white people in their position are. If you look at, you know, Keith Olbermann, he made a tweet the other day about Trump. He was not given half the criticism that Jemele Hill or Michael Smith would be. So being black doesn't take a break.
Yeah, and I like what you point out there. If we look just at the people that Trump has criticized in the past 3 or 4 days, it's been Jemele Hill, Steph Curry, and Colin Kaepernick, right? All people of color who are involved in the sports world in some way. Something I'm just curious about that I'd like to ask for both your opinions on is, what would you say the distinction is between kneeling during the national anthem or standing for the national anthem but putting your fist up?
Personally, I think that, you know, resistance, I like the quote, resistance is relative. And what I basically mean by that is everybody's resistance is a little bit different. So I don't really necessarily see a difference between standing with a fist up and kneeling down. I see both of them as the ability to have one's voice in a society that often does not cater to the voiceless. So I think when you look at Kaepernick's kneeling, his whole thing was to kneel in honor of fallen veterans instead of sitting. So, you know, originally he sat down and then he went to certain people and had a conversation about, you know, veterans and things of that nature, and he decided to kneel.
I agree with that sentiment. I believe that whether you're kneeling or you're standing with your fist up or you're sitting down or for sports, especially recently, since this week we saw multiple teams kneeling and even two teams in one game, Seattle and the Tennessee Titans, actually refusing to go out on the field while the national anthem was occurring.
As well as the Steelers just today.
So I honestly feel like there's many ways of protesting, whichever way you choose, but each way you're getting your voice heard.
So if we want to shift the conversation a bit to most of the people, I assume we're on kind of the right side of the aisle, who are against this type of protest. Do you think people's motivation for being so angry at Kaepernick burning his jersey and being angry at the NFL for semi-supporting this, which we'll get into later, do you think that comes from a place of actually feeling disrespected by the kneeling during the national anthem and feeling a threat to their sense of patriotism? Or do you think it's something deeper like racism?
I mean, I hate to generalize about people, but I take it that these are the same people who have American flag napkins on the 4th of July and wear American flag pants and put those things, you know, commercialize the American flag the way, you know, American capitalism does. So if you look at the history of having, you know, the national anthem and NFL games, the people didn't come out the tunnel until 2009. Those facts are generally overlooked when we talk about Colin Kaepernick. The grand majority of American people probably do not stand when they see the national anthem on TV. So I don't understand why backlash from there is no other reason for the backlash of Colin Kaepernick besides the fact that he is black. That's the only reason I can think of. And if there's another one, I would really like to have that discussion.
I also do believe there are hints of racism in this, but I do think there is one more thing that kind of goes into sort of what's kind of been the problem with America throughout the years, and that's that there's some type of worry about changing in tradition when it comes to American values and the things that we do and the way that we do things. For example, like when somebody burned the American flag, a lot of people were mad, not necessarily for the person of color or what they represented. It's more just because it what it represents. So I think a lot of Americans focus a lot on the tradition and everything that goes into it. So I think that's a main reason behind it as well, is that when you start to break a tradition that's been in place for a while, a lot of people are going to backlash the way they do because they feel that that tradition is being disrespected when in reality, it's just trying to bring attention to something.
But this isn't the first time an American has, you know, experienced their expressed their displeasure with the American government. In the 70s, you know, white people or people of non-color would not stand for the national anthem at games because of the Vietnam War. This is the people's displeasure with their government has not experienced as much backlash, probably one because of social media, and I give that credit that everybody has a voice now, but a lot of it has to do with the fact that Colin Kaepernick is of color, and you've seen that historically, when people of color take stands against the federal government or against anything that's commercialized as American, then there is a problem. In the 70s or the 60s and 70s, you had a coalition of black athletes, Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, Jim Brown, that stood for things like, you know, not going to the Vietnam War. So, you know, those people also have had backlashes against them. If you look at Muhammad Ali, everybody thinks people like him now, but there is like a revisionist history when you talk about Muhammad Ali. So those are things we have to think about when we think about Colin Kaepernick.
This issue head on, which is why we have to talk about it today. For some reason, something possessed him to say, hey, this happened over a year ago. He first brought up at a rally he held on Thursday night, I believe, and then he started tweeting about it. He said, if a player wants the privilege of making millions of dollars in the NFL or other leagues, he or she should not be allowed to disrespect our great American flag or country and should stand for the national anthem. If not, you're fired. Find something else to do. So there's a lot coming out of Trump's fingers right now. It's the best way to describe it. We should recap that today, as we mentioned, the entire Steelers team didn't come out for the national anthem. A lot of players continue to kneel for it, and many teams stood in solidarity with locked arms. Upon seeing that, Trump almost instantly tweeted about it. I don't want to talk about Trump because we talk about Trump too often. I want to talk about the NFL in reference to this. Because with Trump saying all these things, Roger Goodell came out and he made a statement. Divisive comments like these demonstrate an unfortunate lack of respect for the NFL, our great game, and all of our players, and a failure to understand the overwhelming force for good our clubs and players represent in our communities. In this sense, I guess Roger Goodell felt like he had to kind of come out and defend his players on this one. But we know that a huge controversy this year was Colin Kaepernick, who himself is a great quarterback, wasn't even hired as a backup for any team in the NFL. So there was a big question as to whether the NFL was intentionally trying to push the issue under the rug, but now they're coming out against Trump. So if you guys kind of want to go into why you think this is happening just now that the NFL is starting to stand for players like Kaepernick.
I think part of this is hypocrisy by Roger Goodell. You see that Colin Kaepernick doesn't have a job, but it's becoming socially unacceptable to side with Donald Trump. People like commissioners and the owners have to come up with ways to kind of save their behinds here. If this isn't the only controversy, or Colin Kaepernick isn't the only controversy, I think, with the NFL. If you look at, there have been a lot of owners that have given a lot of money to Donald Trump. If you look at Jerry Jones, Robert Kraft has given money to the campaign of Donald Trump. You know, so you understand why Colin Kaepernick isn't getting a job. The only problem now is it's becoming socially unacceptable to be in favor of the president. Another thing, you see a lot of these people who supported Donald Trump go back on their word. If you look at Rex Ryan on ESPN, he said, quote, this isn't what I signed up for, which begs me to question, what did you sign up for? You know, did you think Donald Trump was about? This is the kind of things he has been doing throughout the tenure of his campaign and the tenure of his presidency. So a lot of people on the right have a lot to think about now that it's becoming socially unacceptable to be a part of Donald Trump's base.
When it comes to Colin Kaepernick and not being signed in the NFL, I think it really, well, the race part of it does play an aspect, absolutely. But I think when it comes to the NFL, and I've seen this a lot, I think it really comes down to NFL owners having some type of bias. And for some reason, unless you're like a star player, they won't sign you. Because we've actually seen this during the offseason. Because Ezekiel Elliott, as we know, he committed domestic violence. And Jerry Jones stood with him through thick and thin. Oh, I know he didn't do it. Oh, don't worry about it. But then you looked and he dropped another player for the police falsely accusing him of actually drinking and driving. And he dropped him because, quote unquote, I felt that he was a liability to the team and he causes too much trouble. So he contradicts his own statements. And I then again want to go back to Jerry Jones again when he actually signed Greg Hardy after a domestic violence dispute. And then Greg Hardy went on national air and actually joked about domestic violence. I think it really does depend in the NFL, mostly about, for some reasons, owner looking more into talent than they do into actually what you do. And when your talent, for some reason, and the NFL owners don't feel that your talent outweighs how much you've done, they think you're expendable. And I don't agree with that at all.
I agree with you to a certain extent. I think there's a myth that Colin Kaepernick doesn't have the talent to play in the NFL. And I think that is problematic as it begins. Colin Kaepernick, obviously, if you look at the quarterback play throughout the first 3 weeks, you know, certain teams like the Colts, the Browns, could definitely use Colin Kaepernick.
Absolutely.
And I think there is a romanticization of the American flag and what the American flag, quote unquote, stands for. And I think that's why you see that outweigh Colin Kaepernick's talent. And you've seen that in the NBA too, with Chris Jackson, his refusal to stand during the national anthem, it got him canned from the NBA. And despite him being a, you know, 20 point per game scorer. So I think it has to do with the romanticization of the American flag as we see it in this, I mean, this thing of American exceptionalism that American people really have to deal with if we're going to say, hey, we're the greatest, but allow people to be silent for speaking their opinion.
Where does the momentum go from there, right? So even if half the players in the NFL took a knee, the cameras don't have to cut to them. Eventually, it doesn't become that big of a moment that people really didn't pay attention much to it on football broadcasts anyway, but it's not that big of a moment. So where does all this groundswell that you have in the NFL go from here once the attention dies down?
I think it continues. The words of Donald Trump, as Jemele Hill said, will cause more protests, not less. And I think it expands beyond the NFL. If you look at the NBA, I think we should expect a lot of different people to kneel and sit during the anthem. I think this becomes a movement, and it's sad that Colin Kaepernick had to be, you know, quote unquote, like a career martyr for this, and he probably still won't get a job after this. But it becomes a movement to whereas if you're against it, it's becoming socially acceptable, which will bring a revisionist history on who was against Kaepernick, sadly. But a lot of this will continue, and you see people like Chris Long who are giving money to, he's giving money to schools in Charlottesville to promote racial justice through education. I think you're going to see a lot more of that and a lot more of people just taking stance because it's becoming socially irresponsible not to.
I have to full-heartedly agree with that. I think that this will continue on and not just be a football thing or a certain sport or a sport thing. I think this will actually go on into all of America and maybe even further. I'm not quite sure. But I feel that at the end of the day, this movement will be remembered for being a catalyst in sort of protesting way that a lot of people either have thought of or that they feel they're going to unite behind as an example of something that can't happen anymore. And I, as for Colin Kaepernick, I think this might be the end, but I'm hoping not because a lot of players are behind him, a lot of people are behind him, everyone's backing him up, and there is more drive behind signing Colin Kaepernick than there has been since this whole conundrum started. But even if he doesn't get signed, I feel like the impact he has left, not only on this game, but in this country, will be remembered for years to come.
Hey guys, thanks for listening to our roundtable discussion today. We hope you like the format. We'll be trying it out in the coming weeks with some issues that we want to talk through. Every episode, we usually have an analogy. I know we make a lot of football analogies here, but I think this one is perfect. Free speech in our democracy is like our quarterback. It's the most important part of who we are, how our country is formed, and it's the foundation of all of our successes. But it's also the most vulnerable part of our team. We all have to coalesce around it and protect it in order for our country to truly stand up for the values that the Declaration and the Constitution promise. Anyway, thanks for listening. We hope you visit us on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, or email us at analogousshow@gmail.com, and we'll see you next week.